going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 390, and as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, any qualifying purchases you make after that point for a little while helps us out. We get a little cut of it. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but helps us keep the podcast going. What's going on, Bob?
It's the end of the year, man.
It is almost here.
It's crazy that it's
the like, office was very quiet today.
Next week is Christmas.
Yeah,
it's just it's a crazy thing. You just said you said your office is empty. I feel like so many people like the last 2 weeks of the year they just kind of just cruise along. There's just not a whole lot.
Yeah, and it was just quiet. I don't know if it was actually empty, but it just felt very quiet. I know a lot of folks are like some were out this week. You know it. Like maybe a couple days next week, but yeah, I know tomorrow there's a lot more out. I'm taking Friday off and some of next nice. week, so yeah, it'll
I'm the complete opposite.
You're just gonna keep working.
I am so busy right now. We have
don't get me wrong, I'm busy. I just
yeah,
I'm taking time off.
No, I before we get started, we are gonna take next week off, so no podcast. This is gonna be our last podcast of 2023. I kind of made that executive decision today when I was thinking about everything. But yeah, no, I'm so busy. There's a lot of products that are launching at CES, and we are lucky enough to have a few of those in right now, and we'll have those reviews ready on launch day. So kind of working on all that. And as Ryan and I were talking about before we hit the record button here, getting all of our stuff, you know, scheduled for CES and kind of getting everything all together, testing different equipment and stuff. It's just, the end of the year is always busy for me. Like all my friends are like, oh, you want to hang out? I'm like, man, I don't have time to really do anything. I want to get all this stuff done. And, you know, so yeah, just real, real busy. But yeah, man, it's kind of crazy that we probably say this every year, but like the year has just gone by so quickly.
It really has.
Yeah. So,
and then and the next one will go just as fast.
Yeah. It just seems like, especially, I think once you get into like the holidays, Thanksgiving, and everything, and just like the rest of the year is kind of a blur because there's always, you know, you have all these events and things to go to and family stuff. And it's just like everything just kind of just blends together. So, of course, this is a tech podcast, so we'll talk about the tech that's going on. I took a look at a really big, and we talked about it last week a little bit, this big-ass CPU cooler from Deepcool. This is their Assassin 4, and it's one of the biggest CPU coolers that I took a look at all year. I mean, this thing is huge. They have a white and black version. They sent me both, but I did the review on the white one. I did it in a white case. I felt like it made sense to do it that way. But you can get a black one or a white one, depending on your build. And the interesting thing about this cooler, and I didn't even realize it until I took it out of the box, is that typically when it comes to a CPU cooler, even if it's a dual tower, which this is, it goes fan, heatsink tower, fan, heatsink tower.
Right.
But on this cooler, it goes heatsink tower, fan, heatsink tower, fan. So it's a pull session.
Yeah, dual pull, yeah.
Yeah, essentially. And I mean, it is big. Like I said, it's basically a big box. That's kind of what it looks like. It's this big box. And you don't see that front fan here at all. There is a rear fan. So that rear fan is right here. That's a 120 millimeter fan. And there's a fan in the center that you can actually pull out very easily here. And that fan in the center is a 140 millimeter fan. And as you can see on the white version here, your fans are going to be gray. But again, you're really not going to see them all that much. everything on the white version is all white too. So like even the heat pipes, like everything, you know, is going to be completely all white. It definitely like fits that white theme very, very well. But again, you can see those like just big old heat sinks in there. And the reason that they did this, and I was wondering like, why would you do that? Because you could say that it could cut down on performance, right? That could be
what's that?
just doing like a pull instead of like a, I guess you would call it a push pull, you know, bringing that air into that heat sink as opposed to pulling the air through the heat sink per se, it could cut down on performance. But the thing about this cooler, and again, I have to preface that it is huge. It's a big cooler, but you have 100% memory clearance. So this is what it looks like installed. And that's because you don't have a fan here on the front. Mm-hmm. So for everybody who has RGB memory, like when a CPU cooler is this big, almost all of the time, it's going to cover your memory. And you probably spent money on those nice RGB memory modules. You don't want to cover them up. And you don't want to have to deal with clearance issues or anything like that either. Right. So this design allows this cooler to be installed like this, which is definitely nice. But there are some caveats. I would say in our case specifically, I mean, it is extremely close to that back. Now, it does not interfere with the rear I/O cover or anything like that, or any of the VRMs on our motherboard, but it is very, very close to that rear fan. They also do allow this back fan to be lifted up if you needed to get up over a larger like VRM cooling solution or anything like that. But it, like I said, the installation was extremely easy, and this is a massive cooler. And I do have to say that you could install this in a case, like with the motherboard mounted in the case. And for a cooler this big, that's typically, again, not the case at all. If you want to get like an idea of the size of this cooler, I mean, this is what it looks like. It is very big. It's going to take up pretty much that entire section where your CPU is, but again, doesn't cover the memory, and it does sit very close to your graphics card. So that's another caveat, is it's going to sit very close to that graphics card. If you don't have a motherboard that has the little button over here, it's going to be very hard to pull out your graphics card if you needed to do that. So that's something to think about. Overall, though, like the building experience, when it comes to big CPU coolers, I always get worried. I'm like, this is going to be such a pain because it's so big. It's going to be hard to get it. It was really easy. Instructions were easy to follow. Like I said, one of the easiest installations that I've done on a CPU cooler, to be honest. And in our testing, I mean, it did really, really well. 4-way tie for first place as in our highest load test. It tied with the Scythe Fuma 3, the Cooler Master Master Air MA624 Stealth, and of course the Noctua NHD15, the Chrome X Black version is the one that we tested. All of those have the exact same score as far as temperatures. And it is worth noting both the Noctua and the Cooler Master, those completely cover your memory modules completely.
Yeah.
So, and they're both larger as well, just to keep that in mind. I really, really like this. It's not all that loud either, pretty much the middle of the pack. And when you consider all the coolers that we have here, a lot of single tower coolers, a lot of lower end coolers, being in the middle pack's fine for me. It wasn't loud at all. There's also on the top, I didn't mention on the top of the cooler, there's a little switch. You can put it in low performance mode. You can turn the fans down a little bit if you wanted to. But overall, really, really like the cooler. Again, here's what it looks like fully installed and everything. I mean,
is that illuminated?
It's not that bright. It's not very bright, but it is illuminated right there. And then there's that little switch that I talked about right there. So I really liked it. It is 164 millimeters tall, though. So a lot of cases, the max clearance that you're going to get is going to be 155, sometimes 160. But again, being 164, there are going to be some cases that this just will not fit in. So keep that in mind. We did install this in like a normal mid tower and it fit no problem, but you could run into some issues there. And again, it sits very close to that graphics card, and just trying to get something down in there to release your graphics card is going to be, you know, but it's also for some reason, the white version is $115. The black version is $99, but at $99, that's kind of around the same price as some of the other high-end coolers. But we do have to say that the Scythe Fuma 3 is $50, performs around the same. So yeah, keep that in mind. But I do have to say, like, again, for a big cooler, I mean, when we've talked about this on Deep Cool Products, the products that you reviewed as well, the AIOs, they've done a really good job with style and, like,
Like when we went to their suite last year at CES, that's what I was most impressed by, because they've kind of, like, made this turn in the last couple of years of, like, they all have very similar design language, right? They all, you can, like, look at them and you can just tell that they're Deep Cool, right? Even if they didn't have the logo on them. And they've done a really good job, not only with the looks, but the performance as well.
Yeah, so I would recommend this to anybody who's looking for an air cooler for a high-end CPU. It's going to look great. And then it is worth mentioning, too, that, like, DeepCool does have cases and things that you can match this up with very, very well, too. But again, the white one, I think DeepCool is the best one out there doing all-white air coolers. It just all goes together very well. So yeah, check it out. Really cool. Really just super cool. And then the next product I took a look at is something that's going to help us at CES, and something that I've reviewed a couple of them over the past year is these wireless microphone kits. And I need to get it because I really want to show you guys. I don't know where to hold on. I'll be right back.
You lost it?
No, I know it's around here somewhere.
Yeah, you have that version, and you've looked at two previous Hollyland wireless mics, and I have one of them as well, and I love mine for creating content as well. It's been so handy. And this one I'm, like, jealous of because it came out after I got mine, you know, and it has some features that I wish mine had. Which one is this?
This is the Lark Max. This is kind of what it comes in. This is the charging case. But before we get into that, you know, everybody probably knows there's, like, the DJI mics, there's the Rode mics, and you may not have heard of Hollyland. They're not as popular, but if you guys didn't know, the charging case that, like, you see on all of them, Hollyland was the first company to do the charging case before anybody else did, which is kind of cool. But talking about the charging case, that means that you can charge. This comes with two microphones. You can charge both microphones and the receiver all in here. So let's see if I can do this without. But yeah, both the microphones, and you can see them kind of turn on too. So when you open this up, the microphones turn on and they pair and everything like that, which is incredibly cool. And the cool thing about this one compared to some of the other ones out there is that this, I'm taking these out so they turn on and you can kind of see, is that there is a 1.1 inch screen on here that, again, as I'm talking, you can see the levels go. So you can see your levels in real time. But then there's this, see if I can bring this up with doing it the opposite way, but you can go in and you can go through different settings, so you can adjust your settings on this pretty well, which is really cool too. So you can do it all through here. So, like, if you need to change some settings on one of these mics, you can do it through the receiver, so you don't have to take it off your subject, which I think is really, really cool. And one thing that's really cool about this too is when we talk about wireless tech and we're bringing these to CES, we're in rooms that might have some interference, you know, a lot of these mics too are only Bluetooth. This is 820 foot range. So, like, I can walk down the street with these, and they have these, it's called, like, signal hopping, or I don't know how they do it, the tech that they kind of use. And that's kind of above my head of how they do it, but it is pretty wild. 820 feet that you could probably be at, like, one end of the convention center in Vegas and still, this might still work. But yeah, that's
a shot like that. Like, set one of us has got the camera on one side and, like, the other's way down there, and you're, like, talking, like, the whole way up.
We could definitely do that. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with that. Here's the size of, like, the microphones. So, you know, very, very small. They have clips, so you can, you know, clip them on to yourself, which I like. But they also have these little, this is a magnet. So you can put it under your shirt, and you, like these clips, I'm sure, Ryan, you know, too, and you had some issues with that, where, like, if you clip it onto, like, a t-shirt, it kind of jingles around a little bit, and you might hear that in your recording. Whereas this, you can kind of clip it and it just stays right here, which, again, is just so nice. It's kind of understated, that little thing. DJI Mic 2 that came with my Osmo Pocket 3 has the same type of magnet, and it's a lifesaver. So that's really cool. Another thing about these is, again, we talk about, you know, we're at CES, we're at a trade show. You don't want your recording to be messed up. We talk about if there's interference, something happens. These have internal recording. So each one of these has 8 gigabytes of internal recording available. So there's just a little record button on the side. You hit that, it starts internal recording to the device itself. You plug in the device, there's a USB-C on the bottom. You plug it into your computer, it shows up as like a flash drive, and you just pull the audio files. You can do 14 hours of continuous audio. So if you're just like, you know, you're at a shoot or something all day, you just turn it on and you just have backup just in case, which is really nice. And you can set these, so as soon as you open the case and take them out, the internal recording will start on each one. You can set them up in the settings to go ahead and do that if you wanted to. So again, this is like probably more towards the prosumer level of a wireless microphone kit, but it gives you those features that you wouldn't normally get. So I definitely like, this is like the ultimate kit for me, I think, because I do like having some of the prosumer features.
Do the mics have a 3.5 jack as well?
Yeah, so they have so nice. A 3.5 millimeter jack right there on the side. Also, the receiver has a 3.5 millimeter jack for monitoring. See how that one has the headphone thing? So you can monitor your audio. You can monitor the audio as well. So say we're doing that long shot, you can plug in a set of headphones and just be like, okay, I can hear you fine. You know, because if we're so far away during the shot, you don't know what I'm saying. Like, you can't hear me.
Exactly. So you can make an adjustment on the fly.
You can make adjustments on the fly. You can actually, another thing too, is like, say you did a day internal recording with these and you're on the next, like you already edited, you have that audio, but then the next day you're doing your internal recording. You're like, oh, I don't have any space left. Receiver, you can actually format the internal storage. So you
can send it a command. That's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do with these. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of these. I have a bunch of wireless kits. I have the original Rode Wireless Go. I have that. That was the single microphone kit. I bought that as soon as it came out. But the biggest thing that any of these kits do, and I think if you're a content creator at all and you're making content, is that, and I know Ryan, and I'm pretty sure you've dealt with this too, and I dealt with it when we started making videos here for Think Computers, was I had a microphone that had a cable on it, and you know, having to run the cable across the room, or there were even years that we went to CES with that type of setup, and we had to make sure nobody walked on the cable and doing all that. These wireless kits, they're so good, and the audio quality is really good as well. We have audio samples in the review if you want to check it out as well.
Being able to have, like, there's been videos where I've used this microphone and the camera and not, like, recorded on my computer, and, like, then you got to match those audio files up, right? Being able to just pipe these things right into the camera and have that audio matched up with the video is so nice.
And talking about using this you know, straight into the camera, so like most of these kits are made to be used with a camera. So here's my main recording camera, here's the audio connection coming out and going into my camera, right? The cool thing about this one, and this is why I really like this one, is that it also, like, it does have a USB-C on the side. So that USB-C, they include a USB-C to Lightning cable. So if you're an Apple user, you can plug it into, iPhone, older iPhone, iPad, and then just USB-C. You can do USB-C into an Android phone. You could do USB-C into your USB-C to USB-A or USB-C to USB-C into your computer. And I could use it here as an audio device and just walk away and have, you know, wireless audio for live stream, whatever I want to do. But on top of that, this works with stuff like this, like even an action camera, the USB-C, I tested it, it works with this as well. So it's once, because what I would have to do is I had a wireless microphone kit for my iPhone, and then I had one for like the big camera. So I'd have to carry two around. This, I just carry one of these around, you know, and I can connect it to anything, right? Anything I want, I can connect it to. So I really like that as well. Again, you know, you can see how it easily sticks to, you know, with the magnet. That's one of, like, again, like a lifesaver in a lot of situations there. We have all of the audio samples as well. It does have an active noise cancellation mode. I think it works pretty well. I'm still a fan of, I always like editing my audio after the fact, but you can have a noise cancellation mode. And another thing that I didn't mention is that if you go into the settings, there are three different recording modes. So you have stereo, mono, and safety track. So stereo means that one of these will be the left channel, one of these will be the right channel. Okay, that's stereo. Mono will mix those two tracks together, so it's just one track. That's typically, if you are recording, that's typically how you want to do it for the most part. But then there's a mode called safety track. And what safety track does is it's basically like a mono recording, but it puts the mono recording on one track, like say the left track, and then the right track will be the exact same recording, but 6 decibels lower. So if you do experience some type of audio clipping or something like that, where like if you guys know anything about audio, if your audio clips, you can't recover that in post. It's just, you can't. So the 6 decibels lower gives you that safety track. So again, another like just safety measure that these give you. A lot of these other ones just don't offer that type of functionality. So I really, really liked this kit. I did give it our recommended award. The only thing I wish it had is when you do that internal recording. So say I have this clipped on me and the record button's here. And when you hit the record button, I'll hit it. There is a little LED. It's so faint. Let me see. See that little LED that turned on? That means it's one, it's not very bright. But two, if I have this mount, like, you know, mounted on me, like I can't really see that little light. With the DJI Mic 2, the new ones that came with the Osmo Pocket, when that has internal recording as well, when that internal recording turns on, it vibrates. So it gives you like a little cue that, hey, I'm internal recording. That's the only thing that I wish that these had. It's the only thing.
But everything else, weird because the other LED on there is pretty bright, right? And larger. Yeah. So you figured they could have added it there or something. But
talking about that again, this is
turn that off as well.
You can adjust the brightness of that LED, which is pretty cool.
That's cool. Too. Yeah, so
there's so much on these, and again, I probably haven't touched like everything, but it's the best. And I've only like taken a look at probably like 4 total kits, most of them from Hollyland because they sent us them. And I have the DJI Mic 2 that came with this, and then I have the original Rhodes. And I have to say this one is the best. And just like, so I have the brand new DJI Mic 2 that came with this. So it's like a brand new microphone. These are heavy, which I like. Like typically when it comes to like, and like this receiver is, it's heavy. Like it feels really well made.
Right.
So again, just other things that, you know, that I like about it, but I'm super pumped about this. Like this is going to be like my go-to wireless mic kit going forward. So check out the review if you're interested. Like I said, if you are a content creator, even if like, you know, you're thinking about getting one, this one is, and it's not crazy expensive for what it is, but it is $249, which may be a lot, but I think for a lot of people, that's going to last you a very long time, I think.
Yeah.
I bought the original Rode Wireless Go in 2019, and I used it up until I got this kit. So that's a while. So it will last you a while. So definitely worth the price. The Rode Wireless Pro, that's their new one that basically has like all of the same type of features that this has, is I think it's $100 more. And then DJI hasn't come out with the actual wireless microphone kit for their DJI Mic 2. It only came with, for some reason, it came with this.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it only came with this. So and you only got one of them that came with this. But in any case, check out the review. It was a lot of fun. I like doing different types of reviews, and obviously correlates with all of the content that we put out. So yeah, check out that review. If you are interested. And then Ryan did over the past, how like what past like month
Yeah, it's probably like a month, a little more. Yeah.
Yeah, you did a little article. I don't know if you want to bring it up on your end. Of basically, if I understand this right, Ryan had a bunch of servers doing various things, home servers, things like that. And there was like a couple different machines that he wanted to consolidate into one machine. Did I explain
that correctly? Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I've over the years just like built up extra, you know, PC hardware and stuff. And so you're like, oh, let's spin up a Minecraft server. What do I have laying around that I can like have running Minecraft all the time? So I don't have to have my main rig on and running, you know, to host a Minecraft server. So I ended up with like three home servers, in addition to two NASs that are also running in the closet. So it was like just like a lot of stuff, and they were all aging, right? They're all old machines that were either like retired from, you know, businesses, or I'd picked up or built along the way. So I wanted to get something that was a little better and consolidated. And I had three goals for this project, and they were consolidation, right? Just freeing up space, freeing up power on the UPS, you know, the ports there, taking away some network cables, just decluttering. And then the flexibility of what I ended up building was a virtual server that can host multiple virtual machines. And if you're familiar with virtualization technology, you know how flexible you can be with those systems, because what used to be a physical hardware server is now just a bunch of files running on a different server. So you can really adjust your configuration very easily with virtualization software. So I wanted that flexibility, because it makes it really easy to like add additional memory or additional CPU cores or more drives when that previously would have taken me, you know, buying parts or, you know, sticking different sticks of memory, and whatever the case may be, I get that with this. And then improved performance. Everything that I retired was old. Like there's some 3000 series i5s, you know, that I was running, and now and all of those individual servers, the max memory they had on any of them was 8 gigs. So this server has 64 gigs. Nice. Of memory. And then like the CPU is a 3800X that I had previously used as my main CPU in my computer until last year when I upgraded to the 5800X 3D. And I had this chip just sitting there for like a year, just staring at me going, don't let me rot away, right? So picked up a motherboard and built this thing out. And so I kind of talk over like what the old servers were, like some of their just basic specs and what their tasks were, right? To show you like, hey, here's what these things were doing. And there's a picture of the three retired machines there, you know, an old desk or a Dell Optiplex, an old Lenovo ThinkCenter, and then this Thecus like NAS mini server that I had reviewed like 7 or 8 years ago. And then let's see here. So I kind of walk through that, and then I talk about the new server build and the reasoning I went with the case. The case I used is the Silverstone CS382 that I had reviewed about a month and a half ago or so. And then I just talk about all the components that I put into the new build and just some notes about them, right? I talk about the CPU and getting those extra cores and access to that. Talk about the memory and the disks and the tiered storage that I'm using, right? I'm using some of those M.2 slots on the motherboard for some what I'm calling tier 1 storage. That's just Gen 3 NVMe storage. And then I have a tier 2 storage utilizing those 8 hot swap drives on the case for some larger, you know, 6 terabyte drives. So that's like my slower storage. And I've got some plans as well to upgrade this, which I cover as well. But I just talk about some of those components. And then just
how much total storage do you have?
So on the tier 2 storage, there's about almost 33 terabytes of slow storage. And then on the NVMe storage, there's about a terabyte. Not a ton of space. There's a lot of capacity there on the slower stuff, but the faster NVMe, right? It's only 2 512 gig drives, so not a ton of space there, especially when you start building on more and more servers that you host, depending on what they are. So I'm utilizing some VMware software as the hypervisor for that runs on the hardware itself. And then I've spun up some Windows virtual machines to handle some tasks, and then I built an Unraid virtual server as well. And so I've got some just general information about that. And then I kind of go over like the experience. What is my result of this, right? Did I consolidate things? Yes, I did. Do I have more flexibility? Yes. And here's some of the examples of that flexibility. Same thing with the performance, right? Here's that. And then I have like some future improvements, mainly I want to get larger NVMe drives. Right now they're Gen 3, so there's options to go to Gen 4 because the motherboard and CPU obviously support that. So I'd really like to move to like dual 4 terabyte drives for that, to just kind of build for the future. I've got the option to maybe put some a different NIC in here, maybe more. I'm not maxed out, I don't think, on memory. I think this board will support up to 128 gigs, right? That's an option for the future. And then at some point, maybe swapping out those 6 terabyte hard drives with large, SATA based drives when they come down in price a bit for those higher capacities. So yeah, it was just kind of a cool project to improve the home server setup. So check it out if you want to read about that. Yeah,
I like that. I like functional. A lot of the stuff we review, obviously it's like consumer facing stuff. So it's
right.
Check out this cool product, but that is like, hey, this is what I'm using. This is what I'm using it for. This is what, and it's very practical, which I like. I feel like in 2024, we should do more stuff like that, like improving stuff around us, stuff like that. So maybe we think of some cool article ideas and things that we can do to maybe I'll do my own home server. I've never done one. Ooh. So or something like that. We'll see. But that moves us on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build, which I thought Ryan might be interested in. Thermaltake Tower 200. And I reviewed this case and it is small. So the reason I thought Ryan would be interested in this, because there's a lot of water cooling going on in here. And this is a very, very small case. This one's done by Tantric Mods. We featured him before. In the Tower 200 here, he has a 240 millimeter rod, I think, and then a 120, and then two more fans over here. But to get, again, this picture might look a little deceiving. This case is very small, very, very small. So to get all that water cooling in there, it has that same LCD screen that was on the Series 500 that I reviewed. He changed the color so it all matches the liquid in there. But overall, I think it's a nice, it's probably really I think it's pretty powerful build as well in there. But yeah, you get all that water cooling in there and getting all those bends, and of course he has the frosted tubing, which everybody knows
you love that. Yep.
I'm a fan of, but it is a nice little build. And I feel like this could be like, we always talk about this like mini ITX builds for like a LAN party, but I like, typically, when you have a mini ITX build for a LAN party, it's not really like a build you show off, right? Like, if you go to a LAN party, sometimes you want to show off your build. This could be one where it's like, it's small enough to pick up and take with you, but
it's also big enough to show off.
Yeah, like this is a window, and like you're obviously going to show it off. Like, it's one that you can show off, which I think is cool. You can see the frosted tubing in there, and it's all Thermaltake water cooling as well. So the block, radiators, the fans, the fittings, the everything is all Thermaltake throughout. So pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, that's just a clean build there. So shout out to Tantric Mods. Like I said, we featured a handful of his builds. Also, like, we're not having the podcast next week, but we will be doing best case mods of 2023 on the site, so stay tuned for that. I will talk about it in like the following podcast anyways, but we'll be doing best case mods, so I have to pick out my favorites for the year. So, and then finally, guys, if you don't know, we are giving away a graphics card. We're giving away MSI's RTX 4070 Ventus 3X card. We just passed 10,000 entries. A lot of entries.
Almost 11,000, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Getting up there. I always, like I said, in the podcast, we always give away our special code. So if you are listening to the live stream or listening to the podcast later, I haven't added it, so you can't put it in yet. I totally forgot. I was like getting all this stuff ready for the podcast, putting it out on social media. I totally forgot to edit the little widget here for the thing. But the for this week, since it's the end of the year, we'll make the let me make a banner real quick for it. So this end 2023 all capitals will be the next special code. So once you put your email in here, there's a bunch of different ways to enter. One will say secret code or special code. I forget what it says. But on the previous podcast, we have given away the special code. So if you want to go back and listen, you can find those as well. But for this week, the special code is end 2023. You cannot put it in yet. Wait till after the podcast. I have to add it. But for everybody who's in the live stream, that's what it is for this week. And I, Ryan, remember, remind me at the end of the podcast to add it because yeah. People will be all right. Yelling at me on social media.
Yeah, I'm blowing up.
Yeah. So, but yeah, just giving that away. 8 days left. So, next time we see you guys in the podcast, this will be over. So get your entries in for sure. One of our biggest, probably one of the biggest giveaways we've done all year. And we're going to start 2024 with another giveaway. So just stay tuned for all of that. Jumping into our news here, we've been talking about NVIDIA's, refresh or whatever you want to call it, their RTX 40 Super Series. It looks like, and we had another article about the release dates, but this is like the actual leaked from NVIDIA embargo dates and everything like that. This confirms a lot of stuff for us. So the first thing that it does confirm is what cards are going to be announced. So you can see RTX 4070 Super, and this is all stuff that we kind of knew, but there was no confirmation. This kind of gives us that confirmation. So RTX 4070 Super, RTX 4070 Ti Super, and the RTX 4080 Super. And then this is their internal SKU numbers that NVIDIA is going with. Now, they're all going to be announced on January 8th. Of course, we know NVIDIA is having their events or whatever at CES, and it's going to announce these new cards. So you will see all of that. Like I said, January 8th, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Kind of interesting that on January 8th at 2 p.m., there'll be if you're getting the RTX 4070 Super early, you can post an unboxing video at 2 p.m. on January 8th. Yeah. And then for that RTX 4070 Super, the reviews for the MSRP models, that's going to be sold at whatever the MSRP is going to be. Those will go out January 16th, and then non-MSRP model reviews will go out January 17th, and then the card will be available to purchase either in-store or online January 17th, 6 a.m. So that's for the RTX 4070 Super. The 4070 Ti, MSRP reviews will go at January 23rd, and then non-MSRP would be January 24th, and the card's going to launch or be available on January 24th. RTX 4080 Super MSRP reviews are January 30th. And then just like the previous, like the next day, January 31st will be non-MSRP reviews. And then that's when you can also pick the card up. So yep. We know all the dates. What do you think?
No, I'm excited. I don't know. I mean, staging them out week by week, I don't know. What's the point of that? Like why make the people wait?
And you would
two
think
extra
like
weeks, like if you're buying a 4080, you're buying a 4080, you're not going to be like, well, maybe I need it now, so I'm going to buy the 4070 Super instead of the 4080 Super.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, right? I assume at CES they're going to show the performance of the card in their announcement,
right?
Like it's X amount faster than what I don't know what they're going to do, but yeah, that's all the dates.
It's interesting the unboxing is kind of
Kind of
cool. They just want to make sure we all get them at CES and we have time to make our unboxing video ahead of.
It's just like they're just going to try to hype it up. Like they need some hype.
Yeah.
Because again, this is essentially a refresh. It's not new architecture. It's not something groundbreaking. It's just a 4070 that's slightly faster, right? So as a consumer or an enthusiast, it's not something to be all that excited about. So that's probably why they have these unboxings. And if you are like a tech YouTuber, it's like, oh, I can definitely get some clicks out of this. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So, yeah. So yeah, so that is the RTX 40 Super. Also launching in 2024, early 2024. We talked about it, I think, last week. That I don't know why there's a Ryzen picture in here. But the RTX 3050 with 6 gigabytes of memory. So the card launched, of course, had 8. They're putting out a 6 gig version that's essentially going to replace the 3050. That's going to come out in February for $179.
That seems like a, I mean, like $180 for a new card. I mean, yes, it's 2 gigs less and it's the previous generation, but I mean, it's, I don't know, $180 for a brand new card feels good.
Yeah.
At least
yeah,
there's I an mean, option at that price point.
Yeah, and I think that like that kind of that's like a 10 that's going to be like a 1080p type gaming card. That's a good price for that type of card. It again puts it kind of against those Intel cards that are kind of lower in price. Talking about graphics cards, this is an abomination of a card that was sold during the big crypto mining craze, the AMD BC250 crypto mining card. That uses the PlayStation 5 APU. It showed up on eBay. These were actually sold in an ASRock system that looked like this. So they sold this big, and we probably covered it. I assume we probably covered it. They sold this big crypto mining machine. I'm pretty sure we covered it. But this big crypto mining machine with a bunch of the cards in there during that whole crypto mining craze, well, obviously, crypto mining is not very profitable, so people are getting rid of these. So somebody's selling the actual cards out of here. It would be a cool collector's item. I mean, like I said, that's like a PlayStation 5 APU in there, like on a graph. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
It's kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was being sold on eBay. Kind of interesting to see that. And it was
don't buy this thinking you're going to slap it into your PC.
Yeah, that too. But all these cards, they're kind of cool too, because they, like the cards themselves have a bunch of ports on them. They actually have Ethernet ports. They have like an M.2 slot on them. And they have these like crazy big heat sinks, as you can see on there as well. I don't think we have in the article the shot of the... Let me see if it's here on eBay. The shots of the actual... Yeah. So the rear here has, you USB. Know... Huh. You got USBs, you got Ethernet there for the cards. You have the little lights to show you that it's transferring data. Like, it's cool. It's an interesting graphics card, to say the least. It's kind of cool to see that.
Kind of cool.
Like, yeah, you can pick them up as a little collector's item if you wanted to. One of the coolest things, and I actually kind of knew about this because we talked to Asus a couple weeks ago and got a little preview of these before they were announced. But I'm super pumped for these next two products. So first, Asus's ProArt series. They've had a bunch of different products. I believe it started with monitors. Then we got the motherboards, graphics cards, some other products. They have their first case. So this is an Asus ProArt case. This is their PA602. I think they have to come up with better names. Just something more.
ProArt 602, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just six. I don't know. But anyways, a case that's totally built on functionality, as you know, kind of has the front here that kind of looks like the fractal design torn a little bit.
Yeah.
With, again, there's two massive fans behind here. So again, designed for airflow. If you're buying ProArt parts, you're probably somebody who's in content creation or something like that, where you're not really... You don't care as much about looks per se, but this is going to give you that like sleek look that you want. And the cool thing about the front is that it does say ProArt there on the front, which is pretty cool. Two massive fans there. And it's here's a side shot. You can see those big fans in there. All black interior, has a GPU support bracket. You know, you has a vertical support bracket as well, so you can install your graphics card vertically if you wanted to. And then the backside, lots of storage options here. These really cool ProArt sort of Velcro straps here.
Why did they
built in? What's it called? Built in fan hub and all that. Were you saying?
Why go back like one to show the other side of the interior? Like, there's not a radiator up top, so why did they build it so tall? Are there fans up top?
There are spots. There are
okay. Fans yeah, there's some there. Fans. Okay, okay. Yeah. I was yeah. At first, I wasn't sure.
I believe yeah. The radiator's in there. So this.
Well, there's
this,
a radiator up top too.
Yeah, this is the radiator. This is their new AIO, which is the next story. But this is their new 420 millimeter AIO. So this essentially is not the top of the case. This is the radiator.
Okay, I thought I was mistaken. I thought that there was, and it makes sense now thinking about it. I thought the radiator was up front, but
nope, yeah, makes sense. Yeah. And I'm not sure, but you might be able to take this top piece off and install. You know what I mean? Install everything up there too. Maybe that's why it's a little separated from everything. But yeah, I like this. There's those two massive fans here. You can see the cooling bracket up here, Ryan.
Yep.
Yeah, right up top.
Yep. Very nice.
Lots of room. I like it. I think that. If this is the type of build you're going for, it's going to be a great case. High airflow, support for up to 420 millimeter AIO, you know, which I'll bring that up for you guys. So they also announced with this, they announced their ProArt LC420, which is their 420 millimeter AIO. Looks something like this. No RGB, anything like that. Yeah. Again, going with that pro art theme, and the actual block itself does have this little light bar thing, and you can set that to different things. So like it could be temperature, it could be CPU activity. You can kind of set it in their software what that bar will be. But yeah, kind of, I mean, you're the AIO person. Like, what do you think?
Now, is this one of their pumps, or is the pump built into the water block on this? I think it is. It's not one where they've got the pump.
No, yeah, the pump's built into the water block.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's nice. I mean, you know, they, I think, had offered a sample, but I don't have a case that supports that large of a radiator, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or at least my test system does not. So, yeah, it's nice looking. I'm sure it performs quite well.
I think
especially if you throw it in that ProArt case.
Well, I think that's the thing, right? So you're a builder, you're building out this system for video editing or whatever it may be, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, like you're like, well, this all makes sense. Like I can get ProArt everything. I can get my ProArt motherboard. I can get my ProArt graphics card. I can get my, and again, you have this big case. You're like, oh, who makes a 420 millimeter AIO? Oh,
Asus does.
Oh, that. Asus does. And it matches. It matches the case. Like everything just goes together. Yeah. It just makes complete sense. So I really like these. I don't know if there's pricing on these. I don't think pricing's available on these yet. But yeah, I mean, that's what the whole build would look like. I mean,
yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I like it. Sleek and sophisticated, I'd say. So check that out if you are interested. Again, not sure. They should be available soon. Both of those should be available soon. So yeah. Also at CES, and again, this is very like, we talk about things being exciting. This is something that's also not exciting. Intel's launching their non-K versions of their desktop CPUs. On January 8th, probably at their press conference at CES, there are some leaked stuff about those CPUs, but I mean,
yeah.
Non-K okay. version.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, 65 watt, I believe. So, yeah, nothing.
Yeah, nothing too.
Yeah, nothing crazy. Yeah.
Next.
No. Yeah, next. This, talking about memory, a lot of new, and then this is not just MSI. We have MSI. This is just the one article we have. But a lot of companies are announcing 256 gigabyte DDR5 memory support. That's because I believe it was Kingston now offers 64 gig DIMMs. So you could do four of those to get 256 gigs. So the motherboard manufacturers had to update their BIOSes to support it, and now it's supported. So that's a lot of memory.
Yeah, that's wild.
I remember just a few years ago, Kingston was showing us servers that had like 128 gigs, and that was like a bunch of sticks. And now you could do that with two sticks, which is just crazy. And yeah, when do you think we're going to get like 128 gig stick?
Like just a stick? I don't know. I mean, it's got to be coming, you know, a couple years probably. Yeah. But then it's like, okay, do you just like, do boards just start coming with two slots even on an ATX board? Because, you know, what do you need
four? That's the thing is like when...
Four sticks for.
Yeah.
Oh, if I mean, everything's happening on one stick.
But like, do you think that over time, you know, we're going to need more and more and more?
Probably. I hate to say no. Right. Yeah. Like, that's one like aspect of CPUs that has, I mean, it's increased over the years, but we're not at like crazy amounts. Like,
no, we're not like, yeah.
Right. Like my first build that I built myself, it had an 80 gig hard drive. Right. So like, that's pretty small, but I had 768 megs of RAM. So just under a gig, but like standard, what would you say standard memory is in a PC now? 16.
16, yeah.
Right. I would say, so like from 1 to 16 doesn't seem crazy, but like an 80 gig drive to like terabytes is like so much more.
Yeah.
It feels like.
I mean, I could see like even having like I have 64 in here. Yeah, I have 64 in here. Like I don't need, I couldn't, like if I got 128, I'd be like, yeah, I just like just bought it just because, like
just there was because,
no
yeah.
reason. Yeah, there's like no reason.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably be all right with 32 in mine, but I'm got 64. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would say
I've never approached even 32. Like, I get in the 20s.
Yeah. Like, I don't use that 64 really. I just bought it because, like, that was like, I wanted more than 32 just to, like, you know,
well, and the price point was like,
yeah,
so do I do four sticks to get into 32 or do I do four sticks to get into 64? It's like, didn't yeah. make sense to do 32 instead of 64.
Yeah. So, talking about storage, you were talking about your Gen 3 drives. You're thinking about getting Gen 4 drives. Well, brand new Gen 5 drive was just announced from MSI. This
big old cooler.
Massive cooler. This is their... Spadium M570 Pro Frozer. It's called Frozer because it comes with this big ass cooler that's going to take up so much space. So if your M.2 slot, which all Gen 5s shouldn't sit below your graphics card, like that's the way the boards are designed. But if you, for some reason, you have a board that has a Gen 5 slot that sits below a graphics card, you won't be able to use this because it has this massive heat sink here that has three heat pipes in it, which is crazy. But this is their new, like I said, their Spadium M570 Pro Frozer. It is using the new Phison E26 Gen 5 controller. I'm sure we'll see this at CES. Yeah, and they also announced a new M482 that's a Gen 4. 7,300 megabytes a second. For the Gen 5 drive, what are the speeds? 12.4 gigabytes a second. Read 11.8 gigabytes a second, right? Which is just fast.
Yeah.
Very, very fast. Very fast. So, and then I wanted your opinion on this, Ryan. HP is working on a Omen Transcend 14 laptop. Now, when you think of HP, you know, we've heard of the Omen, like the Omen desktop PCs haven't been all that bad. If you're looking for like an all-in-one or a pre-built system, would you consider getting an HP gaming desktop?
You mean gaming laptop?
Or gaming, yeah, laptop, I'm sorry.
It probably wouldn't be my first, like, go-to. Like,
yeah.
But if it was proven to be, like, good, yeah, I would consider it. I've been happy, like, I have an older, like, HP Spectre 2-in-1 that's, like, super thin and light, which I really
That's what like. This is. This, the, like,
and this kind of looks like, yeah.
This leaked image right here It says world's lightest 14-inch gaming laptop. I don't know. Meteor Lake CPU. Don't know.
I mean, again, it goes back to that. I don't have the use for a gaming laptop, but if I bought another one, I would want a smaller and lighter one.
Yeah, so this might
be a good option for that.
Up to 4070, a GeForce RTX 4070 in it. Yeah. So that would be powerful. And it's interesting. So I don't know if you guys know that HP bought HyperX from Kingston. And I don't know if you can see it. There's a HyperX logo right there. So I don't know if you're using some of the keyboard tech or what that is, but there is a HyperX logo right there. So I don't know what they're incorporating.
Maybe HyperX memory? Do they still do memory or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do. So. But like, I don't know what that is about. But yeah. I did just notice that just now. So there is that. So pretty interesting to see. Maybe we'll see it at CES. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be there. So that is that. And then this last thing is super cool. I don't have a use for it, but I would just want it because I don't play these type of games. But Turtle Beach announced their Velocity One flight deck, which is made for simulators. It looks so cool and fun. This is a screen right here. This is an OLED screen right here. Let me actually go to the website.
There's too many buttons for me.
It's $400. It's expensive. Oof. Yeah, you can pre-order it now. But
that might be pretty standard for a flight, like control surfaces with that much, you know.
Yeah, so this is a touch display here, right? Mm-hmm. On the, I guess that's their throttle.
Yeah.
Thing. So that, and you can see like it changes, like there's different things that can be displayed on it, which I think is super cool. And then up here, you have a customizable OLED HUD right here.
This, I think, could be really cool if it had like some integrations with like Star Citizen, right? If you can display some of the game information onto that, which I'm guessing you probably can do similar stuff, but like customize it to work with the particular ship you're flying. You know what I mean?
That would be incredibly cool. But yeah, I mean, this thing just looks nice. Like, I kind of want it. I don't play games.
Even though you don't even play the game.
I don't play the game.
There's so many things that you're like your fingertip, that's your thumb. Just your thumb alone on the joystick, you have like that where your thumb would normally rest. You've got a D-pad there. And then it looks like there's a scroll wheel right there in
the center.
And then you've got like your hat, and
whatever, this is
joystick
here. And even on this side, I don't know if we can see, this gives you a better, like over on the throttle side there's also a ton of buttons on that as well. You have all these, not like, yeah man, that'd be so cool. It would be cool to see this in like a really nice setup, you know what I mean? It would be very cool to see all of that. So it's the Velocity One from Turtle Beach. Like I said, you can pre-order it on their website if you're so inclined. So pretty cool stuff. As I said, no podcast next week, but we do have some stuff coming up. First, taking a look at another chair. I'm taking a look at the FlexiSpot C7. This is their sort of lower cost ergonomic office chair. I've been using it. It's very comfortable. So we'll have that for you guys to check out. And then I'm also taking a look at another, I feel like these next like couple months is going to be like the duel of the big ass CPU coolers, because I have a bunch into review. So this is the Cooler Master Master Air MA824 Stealth. This thing's huge. And I believe, and again, I don't know because I haven't installed yet, but I believe it does cover your memory. But it is very, very large.
It has that navy blue fan, which I think looks awesome too.
Yeah, this is like their super high performance fan.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it just looks like it's gonna cover your memory. I'll have that for you guys next week. And like I said, stay tuned for some end of year stuff on the website as well. We have we haven't done our worst PC setups for this month, so we'll have that. We'll have Ryan and I are working on a video of our favorite products. We have best case mods, maybe some other stuff to end out the year. So lots of, like I said, lots of cool stuff coming on to the website. So just stay tuned for all that for sure. At the end here, we talk about tech stuff. We also have our question of the week. And since it is our last podcast of the year, I wanted to ask Ryan, what do you think was like the most, I don't know, like in your opinion, the best tech announcement release of this year, of 2023?
Now I got to remember what came out over the last 12 months.
Yeah, or like something news-wise that was like, wow, this is going to make a difference, or...
I'm not going to say like, oh, we know that Grand Theft Auto is coming out because it's so far away. Like, that's not even...
Like, yeah, that was
as far as news stories go, that might be one of the big ones, but it's like nothing tangible, right? Like, there's nothing we can do with it. I don't know.
I honestly don't. I have one, and you're going to make fun of me for it because it's not something new, but for what it was, it is a big change.
Okay.
Is that the iPhone 15 has the USB-C port.
You're right. I am going to make fun of you for that.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, for
it's a big deal.
It is a big deal because
it's a step in the right direction too.
It is a step in the right direction. And that port is a USB 3.2 port. So it's fast, which again, like Lightning has always been like very slow. And I don't know if that's the biggest thing. Like, so like RTX 40 series was out already.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was
like, those like, were out. The X3D parts were...
They were already out. Yeah. The, I mean, did we have 7,000 series yet?
That's only maybe, but like, was that big of a deal? Like, I don't...
And I can't think of anything from Computex, you know, that came out.
Yeah, like, it just seems like it's just kind of been all the same. Like, nothing... like groundbreaking stuff. I would say the biggest thing of this year probably is AI. Like if you
think the use of it. Yeah. Because
if you think about this time last year, like
it was, hey, have you heard of this thing called ChatGPT?
Yeah. Like all of the certain apps. And you just showed me a YouTube thumbnail app that uses AI to kind of rate your YouTube thumbnail. Like there's all of these apps and things now that make use of AI, whether again it's just like normal, just like asking questions like ChatGPT. There's we both use that one thing to make shorts out of long form content. Yeah. Opus Clip. So that was AI. There's a ton more. I use the AI audio thing built. You don't have to have a Adobe Premiere to use it, but it's now in Premiere, but it was just a Adobe Podcast Edit, whatever it's called, to clean up your audio. That I've used that all year. I would say that's the big thing. If there's anything, that's the big thing in tech.
Yeah, being able to utilize some of that AI stuff. Yeah, and it's moved fast too.
Yeah,
and there's just more and more coming out. So
yeah,
that's probably a good.
Yeah, and I don't know if, like I said, if we're just sticking to merely physical products.
Well, I mean, I look around my desk set up and it hasn't really changed at all, so it's not like there was that gadget. I mean, I got the tour box, right? But that wasn't I mean, it's a nice tool, but it's not like groundbreaking, and it wasn't new this year or anything. It's been out for a couple of years. Hopefully maybe there'll be a lot in 2024 that shakes things up, right?
Do you have any predictions?
No, because we're getting this refresh in January from NVIDIA.
Yeah. And well, I mean, like I do think this will be the year of affordable 8 terabyte NVMe drives.
Affordable 8 terabyte?
I mean, not like affordable, like affordable, like
not crazy price.
Crazy price. And like every drive probably will launch with like
1, 2, 4, and 8, maybe.
Or no, sorry, I didn't mean 8. I meant 4 terabyte. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Portable 4 terabyte, not 8 terabyte. So every drive that's going to launch is going to be 1, 2, and 4. And they're all like typically a lot of drives that even launched this year were 1 and 2 were available. And then like the 4 came later. Yeah. I think now,
well, even some of those 4 terabyte drives, they're not crazy expensive for,
yeah, but they're going to be more expensive. It's going to be like it. So what you're going to see is, again, all these drives are going to launch with 1, 2, and 4, and like the 8 is going to come later.
Sure.
So
yeah, I can see that.
I think that will be a thing in 2024. Before I forget, as we were talking about this, Nelson is in the chat. Good to see you from Florida. What else? I mean, are we getting new cards from AMD in, I guess?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would say, like, the new trend, that's like the new trend that I see. I still think we're going to see the same sort of like display tech, you know.
Maybe some higher refresh rates.
I think if anything, prices will go down on display tech, you know, as they have, you know, just think like a 4K TV, like how much that costs like 2 years ago compared to now.
Yeah, compared to now.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
I don't know. No. I'm good till the end of the year. Oh wait, I'm good till next year. Yeah. We'll have one before CES, right?
Yeah. So no podcast next week. It's a holiday, and I need to get a bunch of stuff done before CES, and then January 3rd will be our first podcast of 2024, and we'll preface everything going into CES and what you guys should expect from us at CES, and then we'll be at CES.
Yep.
That's crazy. It's so quick.
it's coming up.
But yeah, I do want to say too, I'm going to put this in our other video that's coming out, but definitely like appreciate everybody who comes in here every week on the podcast, and just everybody in general who comes to the website. We definitely appreciate it. Obviously, it allows us to check out cool products and tell you about them. I don't know, if Ryan, if you want to
say anything more than that. I mean, this is your day-to-day thing, right? And I'm just lucky enough to hang out once a week and on the podcast and write a review here and there, and
it's been good.
We appreciate everybody hanging out in chat and that comments on videos, watches them,
and we
definitely the memes appreciate on social media.
We appreciate all the feedback on social media too, even if it's bad. You're like, oh, you could have done this, could have done that, because it helps us for like the next time, right? So like if I'm doing a review and someone's like, oh, you didn't test that, I'll probably like add that into my testing or whatever it may be. But yeah, we appreciate everybody all on social media, in our Discord, everywhere, and of course here on the podcast as well. Appreciate everybody coming out. Corey was in the chat as well. I didn't see that there. But yeah, we're gonna continue our normal Wednesday night and play some Apex Legends. I'm actually excited the game because I've been so busy lately.
Oh, you don't want to play the finals? No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't download it. I don't think I did.
Asked though, will we be testing the new UniFan?
I literally just saw it all, like I have my Twitter open, and I just saw my buddy over at Lanos. I'll bring it up here. I'll bring up his review of it. Lanos C West. I've known West for a long time. I will bring up his review real quick of these new Uni fans. And I guess, like, look, I mean, what do you think of this, Ryan? Hey, wait, let me bring up if he has pictures of the. Can I bring? Oh, that's the main picture. Hold on. Because this is like this will eventually come into AIOs. Well, this is a lot of pictures. Hold on.
That is a lot of pictures.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that big picture and bring it, blow it up here of everything. Okay. So.
Oh, no blowing it up. Okay.
So here is the fan, like the one side of the fan that has these are like little LCD screens. Now, I can't imagine you can put like, I guess you can put like certain things, but it's probably all designed by the software. But like, what do you think of this as being like, you know, this is eventually going to possibly come to like AIOs and, you know,
so I mean, I like it when the fan is in that orientation, but of all the fans in my case, I have 9 fans in this case. Not that it's that unique, but like 3 of them up front, 3 up top, and 3 in the back. The ones on the top, those screens will be facing down. The ones on the front of my case, like I can't see them. Well, right,
I haven't read the review, so don't, you know, take this, but if just like with like the, which one were those where you could flip the the thermal take.
No, I know. It's, right. So it doesn't matter like which push or pull.
Yeah.
But like they're the, even if they were push or pull, like those screens, I have to go like this to see them.
Yeah.
Right. True. But if the fans are flat or like on a O11 dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. On the side
where you have them on the side, they're awesome. Now, what would be cool in my case, is if there were LCDs on the side.
Yeah,
where they've had those infinity mirrors, right? And so you could do something on those, which I'm sure somebody's going to do that at some point. If they haven't, I need to cut that money.
Ryan's talking about like right here, you'd have
right
screen on the side. But I do think it's just adding more screens everywhere. I don't know. I assume these are expensive right now. But it is kind of cool. But like, yeah, just like Ryan says, like I can't see my top fans here. I know the bottom fans, yeah, I can see those. So I think that's where these would come into play. Or like the side mounts. But they do look cool. I do have to say they do look cool. Yeah. Maybe we'll try to get some of these into review here, these cool uni fans. But they are cool. I'd say that. So and I do have to say, and I said this when I did my build, if you have a Li and Li O11 dynamic with those fans, with the uni fans, it looks
amazing. It looks good.
Yeah. It looks so good. That's pretty much it, but we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Like I said, we're gonna be playing some Apex Legends. That's gonna be up on Twitch, twitch.tv/syncomputers. Ryan, of course, runs that stream. So definitely head on over there if you want to keep on hanging out with us. And like I said, I appreciate everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody in 2024, not next week.